Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here for another episode of Agriculture of America, AOA. Great to have you join us for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Happy to be with you here today. Instead of watching Masters coverage, we're going to talk farming and ranching and agriculture here on the program today. I had to make the joke at the start of the show. We were talking about it before we went live. All right, coming up on our program today, we are going to talk markets in just a moment with Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics. A lot of headlines overnight that we need to discuss ahead of the release of the April WASD report. Josh Bakey with Farm Progress going to join us in segment two to go over some of the headlines coming out of Washington, D.C. In segment three, we're going to go over the latest meat export numbers with Dan Hallstrom from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. And we'll wrap the show with a look at more news headlines here on today's AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at cenex.com. Joining us now as we talk markets, Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, thanks for joining us here on AOA, sir. Hope you're doing well.
Great to be back with you. Thanks for having me, Jesse.
A lot of headlines overnight ahead of an April WASD report from USDA that typically is not a huge storyline market mover, so to speak, but there's plenty going on. I know one of the headlines I saw was a big cut by the Rosario Grains Exchange in Argentina for their corn output due to spiroplasma disease. You mentioned CONAB made a cut as well to Brazil. So let's catch up on some of these headlines. What are you seeing right now, Mike?
Well, the key, I think, today on the WASD numbers is USDA joins up with the Argentina Grain Exchange for Argentina's numbers and corn especially, and also the CONAB numbers for corn especially, too, because, Jesse, we're at a point now where the difference between CONAB and the Grain Exchange in Argentina versus USDA is anywhere from 15 to 18 million metric tons of production. And CONAB cut again, the grain exchange, as you say, cut again. And so USDA raised the Brazilian corn crop size last month. And I think this is where the trend is. The USDA is saying big crops get bigger. Most everybody else is saying small crops get smaller. And so that 15 to 18 million tons ends up being 500 to 700 million bushels. And so that's a big deal. In my opinion, in light of the hotter CPI data, the strength in the dollar that came as a result of that CPI data, and now hearing early this morning that China is canceling large volumes, 300,000 tons plus, I'm hearing, of Ukrainian corn because they're oversupplied. I think it's probably more political theater and political positioning as much as it is oversupply. But supply needs to tighten in this report. I think that's still where the trend in the price action is pole position with USDA's numbers.
Well, and ahead of the USDA numbers and with all those overnight headlines, you know, the grain market's pretty quiet early on Thursday. So we'll see what happens with some of these numbers. I'd have to think that if we don't see a meaningful move by USDA in this April report, Mike, the May report would probably have to do something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and this is the tricky part about it, because in May we get the new crop numbers. And so then all of a sudden we could see a USDA big cut in production for South America, but then see the new crop ending stocks number for 24-25 from the United States potentially soften the blow. And I think that's what I'm most concerned about, is what you just hit it on the head there, Jesse. I mean, this is where I hope we get more real time so that we tighten up the supply side for another 30 days to get the end users to get a little bit more eager to purchase. Why? Because farmers are going to be in the fields. And so bidding up here could be a real situation if the numbers come in as I think they should come in. And I think that goes back to the U.S. corn exports. Again, another key piece of the puzzle. We're running 35% ahead of year-to-date inspections on corn. USDA is not close to that in terms of their 2.1 billion bushel export figure for 23-24. So I hope that U.S. ending stocks for corn for 23-24 actually lower than trade estimates, more like 100, 120 million lower than last month's USDA figure.
Mike, between the CPI number yesterday, the headline PPI numbers out Thursday, sticky inflation just feels like it is sticking around, for a lack of a better term here, Mike.
It is. And you got to wonder whether this is going to hurt us from a standpoint of the dollar going sharply higher again against the major emerging market currencies, because U.S. bond yields are going up again, or whether the record high gold prices are an indication of something to come in terms of putting more premium in the agriculture commodity space. And I think this is where China and the avian influenza, the two big demand features in this market, are probably going to make or break us, I would guess, as far as whether we can move in the ag space, the grain space especially, more like a gold trend in terms of firmer prices with higher interest rates that stick around a lot longer.
Let's talk over in livestock too real quick. We continue to watch spread of HPAI in dairy cattle, and seeing cases confirmed now in North Carolina. Cattle markets under some pressure yesterday. I think some of that, though, was tied not only to the news cycle, but to the hot CPI numbers. Your thoughts in this cattle trade right now, Mike?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, while the weekly export sales were something I was going to watch very closely, we had China come in as the number three buyer for both beef and pork. We had decent export sales in beef. We had pretty nice export sales in pork, up 65% from last week, 33% from the four-week average. But I'm also seeing that Chinese hog futures market down another 2%. So net-net, we've lost some support. We've taken out yesterday's lows in April fats, April feeders. I just can't see a close below Friday's close, because that should be a benchmark for trying to establish a midterm low in this market. If we lose that, I'm assuming that the news is going to get worse on us. And if we do see that, I think getting a floor underneath is almost a necessity at this point in some cases, Jesse.
Well, you and I talked about this as well yesterday on the Market Talk program, how just trying to be smart here in environments like this, whether we're talking cattle or grains, et cetera, asking questions and being a smart risk manager, so important, isn't it, Mike?
It is, and this is the age of the funds versus the fundamentals, and it's just as simple as that. It doesn't make sense why we're doing what we're doing, but the market's potentially going to create an environment where it's got to price in demand destruction and hurt everybody in that, on the supply side, on the production side. But this is where that 2014-2015 model year I've been talking about for 6 or 8 months, it's starting to come to fruition with the market looking more and more like a double top. And it shouldn't be this way from a cash side of the perspective or supply demand side of the perspective, but we have the funds right there in the middle of it all.
Mike, where can folks find you if they have questions, want to look at your analysis? I know they could find you easily.
Yeah, best place to go is globalcomresearch.com, globalcom with two M's, research.com. Sign up for a trial. There's a comment section there. Give me a holler, and if you need a call back, I'll be happy to do it.
Mike Zuzalo, Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Glad you had me instead of the Masters, Jesse. Thanks, buddy.
Mike Zuzalo, Global Commodity Analytics, with us here today on AOA. Brought to you by our friends at Sedex, Sedex Premium Diesels. Learn more at Sedex.com. We'll talk with Josh Bakey from Farm Progress on the way next here on AOA.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that combines precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. The alignment of these brands supports farmers, dealers, and OEMs globally. PTX Trimble and Precision Planting understand the challenges of farming. That's why they design solutions to help you implement technology and automation on your farm. They knew there was a better way, so they're building it together. With a combined set of products from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble, there are now precision ag technologies to touch all brands, equipment types, and farms. PTX spans the entire crop cycle, from land prep to planting, spraying to harvesting, and each pass in between. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
If you're caring for one of the 16 million Americans living with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you probably have many questions. COPD makes it harder to breathe and worsens over time. As a caregiver, you may juggle many roles. Being connected to the right resources can help. That's why the Learn More, Breathe Better program and Respiratory Health Association created the COPD Caregivers Toolkit. This free toolkit will help you better understand the disease, prepare for doctor's appointments, navigate home life changes, help after a COPD flare-up, and stay mentally and physically healthy through it all. Help your loved one live better with COPD. Visit nhlbi.nih.gov/COPD-caregivers.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Not all grease is created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at cenex.com. Let's talk issues happening on Capitol Hill and more. Joining us now for a conversation, he is the policy editor for Farm Progress. Josh Bakey is with us here today on AOA. Josh, thanks for joining us on the show again. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, good to be here, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Well, yesterday I talked with the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, John Bozeman of Arkansas, Senator Bozeman, and he talked about the farm bill. We had a really good discussion. A lot of the talk on the GOP side, of course, is centered around crop insurance. I know the Farmer Act introduced this week by Senator Hoeven and Senator Bozeman, and really the GOP kind of sharing their outlook here on the Senate side to go with the outlook from Democratic Chair Debbie Stabenow. And I know there's a lot of back and forth going on here. Talk about this a little bit for us, Josh. What's some of the things you are seeing and hearing in terms of this farm bill right now?
Yeah, well, you know, specifically for the crop insurance program, I think Senator the Farmer Act, I think Senator Bozeman mentioned yesterday, you know, this act would increase premium support for crop insurance programs. You know, for example, from the 80% coverage level, that would go from 68 to 77%, and the 85% level, it would go from 53 to 68%. There's also additional premium support for SEO coverage. And, you know, while the bill was, I think there were six Republican co-sponsors, there also appear to be at least some hope for bipartisan consensus on this. You know, you mentioned Senator Stabenow. She had a proposal she introduced back in January, had some similar things on it. Key difference between that one is in Senator Stabenow's proposal. It would give people a choice between enhanced crop insurance or participating in the ARC or PLC programs. Senator Hoeven's proposal, the Farmer Act, that would actually not require producers to make a choice. And, you know, I saw an interview with Senator Stabenow this morning. She says she was happy to see Senator Hoeven's proposal. She hopes, you know, it'll kind of get the debate going. and, you know, lead to something productive. I think the key here is, like everything else with the Farm Bill, is, you know, where does this funding come from? Talking to people from Senator Hovind's office, they say the Congressional Budget Office's preliminary score shows the Farmer Act would add $4.2 billion. In their words, that would put it a fraction of a percentage above the $1.5 trillion Farm Bill baseline. They believe that, you know, the Senate should be able to work to find funds for it in there. But the big question is where, and that's the thing we need to see. So I think, you know, when we get down to the details, you know, we'll see if this, you know, spirit of cooperation continues on this bill.
Well, and of course, in terms of this farm bill in general, Josh, we are waiting to see if we'll have movement on a new five-year farm bill here this year before the election, before the deadline is up on the one-year extension of the 2018 legislation. I know this week we talked about it. Senator Schumer, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, didn't mention the farm bill as one of his priorities on the Senate side. Well, meantime, House Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson is trying to get something out here maybe in the next month or so. I mean, talk about some of that dynamic and what you're hearing there, Josh.
Yeah, you know, as far as the Senator Schumer letter, you know, that was in a letter he sent to colleagues when they came back from vacation this week. And, from what I'm hearing, you know, those on the Ag Committee are kind of downplaying that. They're, you know, saying they still think there's a chance to get a farm bill done this year. Chairman Thompson in the House, wants to introduce a bill in May. And he's consistently said he wants to have a bill introduced this spring, you know, just as things go, that keeps getting pushed back. Obviously in the House, you know, that's always the big wild card, at least, you know, in this Congress, we have, you know, a pending potential motion to remove the speaker again. You know, right now that doesn't seem to be, there doesn't seem to be momentum there for that to happen yet. But, you know, at the same time, it hasn't gone away either. So, you know, if that happens, you know, all bets are off. But again, you know, whatever happens, I think, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind is, you know, general consensus is if there's going to be a farm bill, it's probably going to happen before the summer, because once we get into the presidential primaries, everyone's going to be focused on the national election, and it's just probably not going to get done. It could get done, but, you know, everyone I talk to says, you know, if it doesn't happen by June, July, maybe even early August, it's not going to happen. We're probably looking at an extension. And the couple of the key sticking points remain nutrition funding and how to repurpose funds from the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, to pay for a lot of things like crop insurance, Republicans have proposed, if you recall, the Inflation Reduction Act was introduced a couple of years ago, President Biden, one of his key pieces of legislation. And basically, it includes a huge amount of funding for climate programs. What Republicans would like to do is bring some of that money into the farm bill. Democrats are opposed to that because they think that money will, or Republicans say that would be good because then it's permanently in the farm bill as opposed to this, you know, temporary legislation that was introduced a couple of years ago. Democrats see it as a way to steer that money towards other priorities away from the climate programs they support. And then there's the issue of nutrition funding. That's going back and forth. If you want a little entertainment, there was a earlier this week, Republicans in the House, House Ag Committee, were circulating some talking points on some of their plans for nutrition funding. Someone on the Democratic side got a hold of it. They posted it on Twitter, or I guess we say X now, and mm-hmm. Marked it up as if it was like a teacher grading a school paper, you know, put a big F on it, have little counterpoints on it. You know, from a political standpoint, it's pretty entertaining. You know, as far as giving you hope for a farm bill happening anytime soon, I think it also illustrates just the key differences between the two parties on some of these issues.
Yeah, it's something that we're going to have to watch how this all unfolds. It really feels like an impasse over those key issues here on this farm bill as we work forward. So we'll continue to watch the situation, of course. I know a lot of folks in rural America want to get a farm bill done. They also want to get it done right. So we'll see what happens. We're talking with Josh Bakey, policy editor with Farm Progress. Josh, another topic that is out there as well, summertime E15 waiver. Will we get one? Last year, we ended up getting one about this time, sometime in April. Any updates on that front that you are hearing right now? Will we get one here soon, maybe?
You know, I think the consensus is we will get one. I think also the consensus is why does it always take so long to do this? Like you said, E15 is not allowed in the summer months due to basically between May to September, I believe. And, you know, that's due to some studies done that's showing in the hotter weather, it increases air pollution. People in the ethanol industry will point to other studies to say that's based on old data. It doesn't cause that. But either way, for the last 2 years, you know, citing inflation and citing, you know, supply issues because of the war in Ukraine, President Biden has authorized the EPA to issue a waiver for summer sales. Fully expect that to happen this year, but I have not heard a date as to when. But, you know, just to make sure it does happen, a lot of people that support ethanol have been, you know, lobbying hard to get this passed. I think last week there was a letter of more than 1,000 people signed, you know, urging the president to go ahead and pass this waiver. You know, they note some of the cost benefits, some of the environmental impacts compared to traditional fuels. So, mm-hmm. you know, in my view, I think we're going to see it. It's just a question of when and why is this taking so long and why does it take so long every year? I don't have an answer for that one.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that one either. Real quick, we got a little over a minute here. You had a story up on the Farm Progress website here recently, looking at the Missouri alternative meat labeling law that was upheld. Can you give us a little quick background on what this is?
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a lot of laws like this. You know, a lot of lawsuits last this, but not long story short, Missouri in 2018 passed a law limiting the terms people making, you know, plant-based and lab-based foods, and specifically the term meat was classified as could only be used for basically animal products. A couple of plant-based food makers, including, if you ever heard of Tofurky, the fake, you know, or tofu turkey mm-hmm. suit, saying, you know, that was infringement of speech, unconstitutional. Missouri court upheld that while they indicated that they were sympathetic to some of the arguments, it did not rise to the level of unconstitutionality. So the Missouri law was upheld for now. And I think, you know, you're going to see similar battles in other states. I know Arizona's having an issue on, you know, having some legislation right now regarding plant-based meat and lab meat. I've heard it from other states. So it'll be interesting to see how these rulings go across the country.
It definitely will. It definitely will. I know folks can stay up to date with the latest news and articles from you at farmprogress.com. With that, policy editor for Farm Progress, Josh Bakey. Josh, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. We'll get you back on the program again soon.
Thanks a lot, Jesse. Always good to chat with you.
Josh Bakey there with Farm Progress joining us here today on AOA. All right, coming up next here on the program, we're going to look at the latest meat export numbers out from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. February pork exports looking pretty robust, and it was a strong month for beef export value as well. Dan Hallstrom with the U.S. Meat Export Federation is going to join us next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants. Learn more at cenex.com. We'll be back right after this.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with This Check at Markets for the American Ag Network. U.S. export sales for corn have been running well above early season USDA projections, as has ethanol production. Last week's production slipped a bit to a still hefty 1.056 million barrels per day, but that's down 1.6%. However, for the season, production has been such that we could see a 25 to 50 million bushel bump in corn used for ethanol. Traders will not only focus on U.S. corn ending stocks, but on the revisions from not only Brazil supply company CONAB, but also USDA. There continues to be a very wide spread of expectations, with CONAB's March estimate for Brazil corn production at 112.7 million metric tons. That's compared to USDA's 124 million metric ton estimate. Soybeans, the export sales, unlike corn, have struggled this year and are down 19%. On a good news front, though, a new sale of 254,000 metric tons of 2024-25 soybeans were announced sold to unknown destinations Wednesday, thought to be the EU. Expectations are that the USDA is likely to cut U.S. exports on Thursday's report, but that could be offset somewhat by a boost in soybean crush. Ending stocks are expected to move little, with the average Dow Jones survey estimate of 319 million bushels. That's up just 4 million bushels from a month ago. Wheat supportive is the gradual increase in Russian cash values, with free on board values having risen near $15 per metric ton in the past few weeks. Some Russian wheat shipments have also been halted. That's due to quality issues and the ongoing conflict between the government and private exporters. Cattle, there's been some optimism for at least steady cash, but that seems to have slipped away. Not only is lower cash more of a reality, but boxed beef took a hit Wednesday as well. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime is a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, we are going to be working to connect with Dan Hallstrom from the U.S. Meat Export Federation here in just a moment. And it was great to talk with Josh Bakey from Farm Progress there in that last segment. He mentioned Senator Stabenow coming out and expressing some optimism at that GOP proposal to boost premium subsidies. And that's something that we continue to watch with this farm bill fight on Capitol Hill and this back and forth. And hopefully some compromises could be found here in order to make something happen. Senator Stabenow told DTN in an email she is glad that Hovind made the proposals, ready to move ahead with more talks on a new farm bill. So we're going to watch this closely and see if we can get some compromise and move forward. Also, continuing to track fertilizer prices here across the country. Average retail fertilizer prices continued to slowly climb the first week of April, according to sellers surveyed by DTN. For the second consecutive week, prices for all eight major fertilizers were up from a month ago. While we see that, we continue to watch this fertilizer market, and we see UAN 28 5% higher than a month ago, with an average retail price of $362 per ton. On a price per pound of nitrogen basis, the average urea price was 63 cents a pound, anhydrous at 48 cents a pound, UAN 28 at 65 cents a pound, and UAN 32 at 63 cents a pound. So again, watch your fertilizer prices, seeing how those trend here as we move forward. All right, well, let's turn our attention to meat exports. The latest numbers out for February, pork exports looking pretty robust and beef export value pretty strong as well. Joining us here on AOA, always good to have a conversation with Dan Hallstrom, the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, welcome back to AOA. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse, and thank you for having us.
Well, let's start with the pork side of the equation, and looks like things still looking strong there. Mexico still continues to kind of be in that pole position, it looks like, for pork exports, Dan.
Yeah, the pork industry exports through January and February have been really an extension of what we were seeing late last year. Robust growth from a variety of markets. We were up, 14% year on year for February. We're up 10% year to date globally. As you mentioned, Mexico is the star, has been the star for months now. But there's other markets now getting in on the act. Staying with the Latin America theme, Colombia, huge month in February. We saw, almost 60% growth into that market. It was kind of the first half of last year, Colombia was struggling a bit with large inventories in country. Those inventories are cleaned up and we're getting back to the normal trend line. So we're excited to see what's going on there. Central America continues. Really, all of Latin America is pretty darn strong. Now, the other good news that's new is that we're starting to see some life out of Asia. Korea had a very large month on pork in February. For the 2 months, for the year, we're up 60% into Korea. Tremendous rebound from where we were, in 2023. So, and there's other markets contributing to the cause as well. Australia is, 2.5 times higher than last year. Taiwan seeing tremendous growth, the Caribbean. So, yeah, it's really a full story of some pretty bullish numbers on pork exports.
How about on the beef side? As I was looking at these numbers, I noticed that the export number was down slightly, but the export value saw a really nice increase for the month of February. Talk about that a little bit, Dan.
Exactly, Jesse. Yeah, we're just, you call it steady to just down slightly on the volume, but the exciting thing about February was the growth in the value side, up 10%. Almost a little over $830 million exported. to me, that's encouraging because it tells me that demand is still brisk, even though our production is down and people are willing to pay more for the product and follow the market. I think that's a testament to our value, our reputation, and our quality overseas. But there is broad-based growth there to some extent as well. Mexico on the beef side continues to be strong. We're up 25-30% there year on year. You had the Middle East region led by Egypt seeing a rebound on the variety meats. Taiwan and the Caribbean as well, along with Central America, all saw growth as well. So a little more broad-based on the growth. But I think the most exciting thing on the beef side, and you hit on it, that value per head of $413 was a dramatic increase from where we were in January. And a lot of that has to do with the variety meats, which accounted for $44 a head.
I know you guys track lamb exports as well. We talk about that typically each and every month. And those numbers look to be pretty strong as well for the month of February. Any details there for us, Dan?
Yep. Yeah. The big three. The Caribbean region is the star. They're up. Considerably for the month. Canada was up on value as well for the year. And Mexico, while down just slightly on the volume, is up on value for the year. So I think lamb, without a doubt, is benefiting from this massive rebound in the food service demand globally. And it's helping us on beef and pork as well, but it's really evident on the lamb side.
Now, I know you mentioned that we're seeing some of this this rebound, this growth in Asia, and a little birdie told me you're getting ready to head overseas to Asia here for a couple of weeks. Maybe talk about some of the things that you're going to be working on while you are overseas and some of that continued rebound and growth with our Asian trading partners, Dan.
Yeah, I think... as we all know, 2023, we were not not very happy with the food service sector simply because we anticipated a much quicker rebound. And the last half of the year, we finally started seeing some good signs. Good signs meaning, you know, tourism picking up in key markets like Japan, Korea, Taiwan. You know, good news in terms of more food service visits from where they were prior to that. So, you know, but we really didn't see it in the export numbers so much. Maybe right at the end of the year in December, we started to see it. But seeing it in February, you know, January and February of this year really kind of solidifies in our mind that, especially as it relates to Korea and Taiwan, and we're starting to see some growth relative in Japan as well. The problem, of course, in Japan is the very strong U.S. dollar. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be focused on when I'm over there for a week, week and a half, visiting some of the key partners in these key markets and doing what we can to spur this this regained momentum on food service, spur it along a little quicker, hopefully.
Where some of the demand that we're looking at in Asia and other countries for that matter, is it coming from variety cuts, underutilized cuts of beef, pork, lamb, et cetera? I mean, talk about that aspect for us a little bit, Dan.
Yeah, I think on pork, it's really a rebound in across the board. It's variety meats, it's muscle cuts. The loin in particular has seen a lot of success, relative success in rebounding. You know, mainstay markets like Japan are strong as usual, but we're seeing a lot of demand in new markets for pork loins. Colombia, Korea, Australia are some examples. So that's pretty exciting. On the beef side, though, I think, you know, it is a big story about variety meats, which we hit on earlier. Variety meats growth is amazing and more fully utilized. And also on the underutilized cuts, you know, with production down, a lot of these Asian markets demand things like short plates and chuck rolls. There's only so many of those to go around. So they're much more willing and they're very well educated, these buyers. They know that our cycle is down and there's less supply in general. So what else can we do together to fill that void? And this is our opportunity to really market and educate on things like the round. What can we do with knuckles and insides and outside round flats? We're having some success in these areas with some of these other cuts. And that's not only a benefit today as our cycle on cattle production is lower, but it's a benefit for tomorrow when we do rebound. Eventually, we'll come out of this cycle with more cattle and we'll have more options as well long term. So very excited about those prospects on the beef side.
Dan, we got about a minute here. Anything final you want to mention or reiterate to folks here today?
Well, I think the one thing is that getting back and focusing a little more on we know the pork is a success, but focusing on the beef side, these buyers, most of these buyers around the world are in it for the long term, and they understand our quality, they understand our reputation on safety and this sort of thing. So they're in it for the long run, and evidenced by this rebound in the value per head, you know, they're in it for the value and the quality, right? So I think it's a little tough at the moment with reduced production, but these buyers are looking to the long term, as are we.
Well, good thoughts, and we'll wish you safe travels as you head overseas to Asia. Folks can learn more at usmef.org. And with that, the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, Dan Hallstrup. Dan, thanks as always for joining us on AOA. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jesse. Thank you.
All right. Dan Hallstrup there with the U.S. Meat Export Federation joining us here on AOA today. Brought to you by Cenex. Extreme cold temps put your vehicles to the test. Cenex premium lubricants made with quality ingredients to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll take a look at Ag News headlines and wrap things up on the way here on AOA right after the break.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill, and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org, a campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful, pain-reducing prescription medicines. But most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets, anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Wheat growers of the North, it's time to push performance with Westbred Wheat. With regionally proven varieties like WB9606 with good stress tolerance and WB9719 with outstanding yield potential and excellent standability. Trust Westbred Wheat to help you get the most out of every acre. Now's the time. Boldly grow. Seize the season with Westbred Wheat. Performance may vary. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that combines precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. The alignment of these brands supports farmers, dealers, and OEMs globally. PTX Trimble and Precision Planting understand the challenges of farming. That's why they design solutions to help you implement technology and automation on your farm. They knew there was a better way, so they're building it together. With a combined set of products from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble, there are now precision ag technologies to touch all brands, equipment types, and farms. PTX spans the entire crop cycle, from land prep to planting, spraying to harvesting, and each pass in between. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
On the April episode of the Monthly Grind, we discussed the latest on SAF and corn as a feedstock for SAF with Lane Howard from the Missouri Corn Growers Association and John Delmonte from the Michigan Corn Growers Association.
We've seen the growth of the aviation industry, specifically the commercial industry. By 2030, we're looking for 8 billion passengers. SAF helps offset those carbon emissions, sometimes up to 80%, and so that's going to be critical for all of those commercial airliners to reach their sustainability goals.
Corn is a very sustainable ethanol to jet pathway for SAF. Obviously, as the markets are kind of reflecting here recently, there's an abundance of corn. So we know that we have an abundant feedstock for an ethanol to jet pathway. And so we're having more conversations about what it's going to take to make SAF a reality when we have eager buyers like the commercial airline industry.
Tune in the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the Monthly Grind and learn more at ncga.com.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
All right, welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location, or just go online to find that nearest location, cenex.com. Well, of course, on yesterday's AOA, we had a conversation with the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, John Bozeman of Arkansas. We talked about this a little bit. The Farmer Act that was introduced here this past week in the Senate, and GOP ag senators have fired a shot across the bow, so to speak, in their farm bill dispute with Democratic ag chair Debbie Stabenow. The GOP senators, led by North Dakota's John Hoeven, flatly rejected Chair Stabenow's proposal to make producers choose between Commodity Supports Arkin PLC and crop insurance. Hoeven and top Ag Republican John Bozeman held a press conference armed with charts listing some two dozen farm groups that support their Farmer Act to boost crop insurance support levels and not force a choice with ARC and PLC. Here's Senator Hoeven.
Senator Stabenow's put forward a product. Now we put forward a product. That's who supports our product. Now let's figure out, you know, what we should do. I think we've laid it out. I think it's cost effective. I think it's the number one risk management tool. And I don't know how in the world we're going to get a farm bill passed if we don't get the support of all these groups.
Now, Senator Bozeman argued in that meeting boosting crop insurance should not come at the expense of updating PLC and ARC reference prices.
The programs that we're doing right now aren't working for farmers. So they're trying to make the decision whether or not they're going to stay in the business. Right now, the return of investment for a farmer is about 2% when you discount the land.
When you discount the land, Hoeven and the GOP say there must be more farm in the farm bill, and better crop insurance coverage is a cost-effective answer.
In a $1.5 trillion baseline, when SNAP is doubling from $625 million to $1.25 trillion, this costs $4.2 billion.
All 10-year figures with a proposed 8 to 10 percentage point boost in crop insurance supports. Ag Chair Stabenow agrees that crop insurance is effective, but refuses to part with SNAP dollars to boost crop insurance and reference prices. Now, also, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson has said, quote, without a doubt, end quote, the farm bill will be out of his committee by Memorial Day. The Pennsylvania Republican says he found a way to fund commodity program changes, adding, quote, it's going to allow us to do what we know needs to be done in terms of safety net issues, end quote. Getting a five-year farm bill across the finish line, though, remains a priority for agriculture following last year's one-year extension of the 2018 farm bill. However, some lawmakers in the Senate, like Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, are not optimistic. Grassley said to reporters this week, quote, what they need is a five-year extension, but I'm very pessimistic about there being an agreement in the Senate on a bipartisan farm bill this year, end quote. While the House may ultimately pass a bill, Grassley added, quote, I don't think you should assume that that's got much to do with what's happening in the United States Senate, end quote. And we talked about that a little bit with Senator Bozeman yesterday as well. The comments recently from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, not necessarily putting the farm bill as one of his top priorities, but Senator Bozeman said he wasn't too concerned about that, and he did echo some of those sentiments about the possibility of seeing House Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson getting the farm bill out of his committee sometime in May. So we continue to watch the farm bill situation unfold on Capitol Hill, among other issues like a potential speakership fight once again, wherever that situation goes, and much more. So we'll continue to watch what is happening on Capitol Hill. Another story we're watching, the Environmental Protection Agency Wednesday finalized PFAS drinking water limits, a move the agency claims will protect 100 million people from PFAS pollution. Farmers and ranchers do not produce PFAS. However, these chemicals can be found in the water that is provided to their livestock and crops. In certain areas of the country, PFAS levels have risen in milk, beef, and row crops, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. EPA is taking steps to protect public health by establishing legally enforceable levels for several PFAS known to occur individually and as mixtures in drinking water. This rule sets limits for five individual substances. EPA estimates that between about 6% and 10% of the 66,000 public drinking water systems subject to this rule may have to take action to reduce PFAS to meet these new standards. All public water systems have 3 years to complete their initial monitoring for these chemicals. And that's a story we are working on, getting some more thoughts and perspective on EPA finalizing those PFAS drinking water limits. We'll hope to have that for you here maybe sometime here this next week on AOA. Well, the consumer price index for all urban consumers increased 0.4% in March on a seasonally adjusted basis, the same increase as in February. Over the last 12 months, the all items index increased 3.5% before seasonal adjustment. The food index increased 0.1% in March, while the food at home index was unchanged. Both indexes were unchanged in February. Three of the six major grocery store food group indexes decreased over the month, while the remaining three had price advances. The cereals and bakery products index decreased 0.9% over the month, the largest one-month seasonally adjusted decrease ever reported in the series. The food away from home index, that rose 0.3% in March after rising 0.1% in February. The food at home index rose 1.2% over the last 12 months, while the index for food away from home rose 4.2% over the last year, and the overall food index has increased 2.2% over the last year. So I take a look at numbers like that and some of what we talked about with Mike Zuzulo at the top of the show. Sticky inflation just seems to be hanging around. Where we go from here, what the Fed does with interest rates and more, and what this economy looks like, well, remains to be seen. And I would just say that this is a time window where you got to be a smart risk manager and a smart marketer for your operation. Don't just let it sit in the bin or whatever the case is. Be smart about it and maybe seek out someone, a trusted advisor if you don't have one. There's my small soapbox for you here today on AOA. We're out of time on the show. Great stuff here today. Coming up on our next program, we're going to talk fertilizer markets with Josh Linville from Stone X. Mike Seifert with the National Grain and Feed Association is going to stop by as well. Markets with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities and a conversation with the president and CEO of CHS, Jay Deberton. All that coming up on the next AOA, brought to you by Cenex, premium diesel and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex store. Find them online, cenex.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA. Have a great rest of your day.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
And we're back, looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.